Well, welcome back, everybody. We're here with another episode. This week we are talking about
LA hauntings.
Yes.
I have to do the LA sign. Oh, I can't with my coffee.
Oh, hell. Is this right?
No, why are you doing it sideways?
No, I'm trying to show her.
That looks like a non-existent gang sign.
No, she's correct. It's this.
Oh, okay. LA.
Okay, well, LA. Do you remember what was his name from Hocus Pocus? What? He's like, my name is Ice.
Yes. Oh yeah,
that's what that felt like.
He's like, I can see his face right.
That's what it reminded me.
Like Hollywood, remember?
He's like, yeah. This is John. He's like, my name is John.
No, it's Ice.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh my God.
This is Ice.
He's like, cause you ate too much candy, you oinker. That's how I feel right now.
I want to rewatch it again.
Yes. Yeah. Well, welcome back to another episode.
Yeah, we're doing 2 for 2 Tuesday.
A real 2 for 2 Tuesday, because we're going to do another episode if we can make it through this one.
Yay, we'll see. We just got back from Korean barbecue and absolutely stuffed ourselves. Maybe we shouldn't have done that before, but it's okay.
Yeah, the itis.
Yeah.
Yes, we bonded over Korean food and Bridgerton. Bridgerton is going to be here in less than 2 days, and I cannot wait.
I know. I'm so excited. Oh. I just finished reading, or I guess I should say listening to the audiobook of, technically it's the fourth one, but it's the third season, so it's...
So it's the fourth book, but in...
TV.
It's season 3. It's season 3. Yeah. Oh, it's Colin and... And what's her name? Penelope.
It's, what's their ship name? I can't remember. Anyway, but I forgot where I was going with this.
Also, I'm going to cut you off, but just a little fun fact, guys. what year was it? Well, a couple years ago, we went to a Bridgerton ball.
Oh, yeah. That was so much fun. I don't know if you guys remember seeing that on our Instagram, but if you haven't, go check it out. I have no idea.
Just scroll down and you'll see us in our beautiful ball gown.
Yeah, I actually have it highlighted on Instagram. And Instagram highlights, it's like Bridgerton.
Oh, yeah. It was a lot of fun. It was
amazing.
Yeah, we all dressed up and then we went out in Old Town right after.
I did not.
I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah, we did.
That was awesome.
I did not win Diamonds of the Season, which I was really upset about.
I didn't know that you were really going for it until, we got there.
Very competitive.
Little grandma heels.
Oh, yes. Okay, so are all
her communion heels?
Girlies out there that know, like, little white heels you wear for your first communion. Like, yes, I literally bought those on Amazon. I'm pretty sure, the reviews were from, communion. Like, when girls wear them from communion. I was like, I'm going to fall back in time.
Do you have me? Oh, my God.
We're all doing, whatever it's called, outfit of the day. And... Like, here's my pink flowy dress, here's my crown, my white sleeves, and then Jack busts out with her communion shit. Yeah. It looks like those shoes that, my Spanish people be putting on their little girls with the little fluffy...
The fluffy socks. Yeah, the ankle socks. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I'm pretty sure those were the same shoes I wore for my communion, but adult size.
Oh my God, that was the highlight.
I think I gave them to my mom to give away in Nicaragua. Oh, so.
And she's still wondering, she's like, why did I not wear, why did I not win diamond? I'm like, them shoes, girl.
Well, it wasn't the shoes. I did slip. Trip? So I slipped because the dress was too long.
That's right. No, you did not. Oh, I thought I thought you tripped on the way to see the queen.
No, I
tripped leaving. So getting out the exit because I went from carpet. It is on video because I went from carpet to the
marble floor.
Yeah, marble, whatever. And I slipped on my dress because it was too long. I was
like, because those shoes were only meant for the ground floors of churches.
For the holy floor.
But you know what it reminds me of? You know Cinderella, the evil stepsister? They're big. Yeah. You know? She's carrying her dress and she's all fucked up. You know what talking about them, right? That's you. That's you.
Please, I almost like spat out my coffee.
Your pink dress.
And you were like first in line too.
I was so excited.
You're like, move, bitch.
This is, so I got these, so I got the tickets for this for them as a gift. And then our other sister, Alexa, like decided to join us. So she got tickets.
And our brother-in-laws and
the guys. Yeah, so like everybody went. But, and Carly and Kelly, like Cindy's sister-in-laws. And so I was like, this is what got me into Bridgerton. So I watched the first season of Bridgerton. I was like, oh yeah, it's good, whatever. Not like so interested in it. But the second season had me hooked. I was like, I've watched it like 5 times now, which is why I'm so excited for the third one. But that is the reason why I got into Bridgerton. Because I was like, I was like, yeah, let me like actually get into it.
Wait, you never even watched Bridgerton before purchasing the tickets?
Correct.
Oh, I
think I watched like a couple episodes because when we lived together, you would watch it and I was like, yeah, that's whatever. And so I watched the first season. I was like, oh, okay, like cute. And then I watched the second season. And I was like, that's it.
Yeah,
that's what reeled me in. I was binging it. Like, I think I finished it in like 2 days.
Yeah, and then after that, you're like on Twitter learning all about diamonds on the balls and how to like become one, and then you just trip.
And I remember we talked about this on a previous episode. No idea which one. And because we said like the girl who won it, like she looked beautiful.
Oh, she looked gorgeous.
However, she was not Bridgerton style.
It was
so like, I was like, whoa, what the fuck?
It's like
now Bridgerton, I know.
But Nana got nominated.
Oh yeah, I was like runner up. I got a little thing. Yeah. I think I still have it somewhere.
I'm surprised that fucking Chris didn't get nominated to become the diamond, because I'm walking down with Chris to meet with the queen, and I'm like, she's like, lovely dress and handsome escort. I'm like, bitch. Like, okay.
What about me?
No.
I walked down by myself. So I was like, I was stuck in the line. I was like, move.
Alejandro was like, I am not dressing up.
Yeah, I'm not involved.
Especially with them communion shoes.
I'm so hip, bro.
Oh my God. I think it's, I have to find it. There's a photo somewhere. I think it's in the group chat. I just gotta look for it.
Probably.
I'm gonna dig deep.
But yeah, it was good. It was a lot of fun.
You know what's coming out? First of all, did you guys watch Wednesday, the show? So Chris and I tried watching it. We couldn't get into it. So season 2 is coming out, but who cares?
It's supposed to be more gore, not gore, but like more like less romantic and more like spooky, haunted.
Which is what I want.
Yeah.
You know, like I think of the Addams Family.
You know whose decision it was? What's her name? Who's the actress? What's her
Jenny
name?
Jenny Ortega.
Yeah, she's now a producer. And she's producing that, and she's like less romance,
less teeny boppy.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was definitely teeny bop. I finished it. I was into it, but like, it was too teeny boppy.
So season 2 is coming out, but what I'm extra excited about that she's also in is Adam's. No, what's it called? Not Adam's Family. Beetlejuice too.
Oh yeah. Yes.
Michael Keaton, Catherine O'Hara.
They're all coming back.
Winona Ryder, Jenny Ortega. They're all, my God. Everyone is, I'm so excited.
Yeah, and I read like something on Instagram, like Jenna Ortega has like the perfect Tim Burton face. Like she looks like the characters.
Vibes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like she looks perfect for any movie.
That's like or whatever. That's a whole cult right there and a clique.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You're a part of that clique because they're a tight clique. Like it's Johnny Depp. What's her name from Harry Potter?
I love her.
I know.
She's so bad. She's so good.
I'm so bad with names.
She plays Bellatrix.
Yeah.
She's in
like
everything.
She always stars like
Alice in Wonderland. She does everything. Like,
you know what I also love about her? She also played in a lot of historical romance on BBC back in her day. Obviously, we are a haunted podcast, but we also love historical romance, anything old. We like old shit. So that's why we were into Bridgerton and Victorian homes and decor and tea parties and all of it all goes together. Old shit a lot of time is haunted, so
all right, but moving on.
All right, yes, we need to get into our
LA.
Yes, now that I got my stuff set up, we are doing LA hauntings this week, and I did a research topic, so I will go first.
Okay, let me get comfy.
I totally forgot. We forgot to do our intro.
Oh God. I'm Cindy.
I'm Gabriella.
I'm Andrea. And we are
Haunted and Manas.
Okay, now we can move on. So, most of my research is from DiscoverLosAngeles.com by Dearly Departed Tours. The first stop of our LA tour is, honestly, it's just an honorable mention, but I had to bring it up. It's the famous American Horror Story House. Yes. And it's actually a historic landmark, and it's called the Rosenheim Mansion. It was built in 1902, and it took 5 years to complete. And according to Newsweek, it's located near an area in LA called Billionaire Row, which was home to some of California's wealthiest families. And the house changed owners many times.
So, sorry, question. It's American Horror Story House.
Season 1.
I never watched American Horror Story.
You're missing out.
I know.
It's only good, like, the first 2 or 3 seasons.
My favorite is Coven. I don't think I watched anything after Coven, honestly. So, there was an actor who lived there called Edward Everett Horton before the Sisters of Social Service, which is a Catholic organization, took over the house as a convent until 1994. So, I think the current owners, from what I read, they didn't know somehow that the show filmed and used that house for their first season, so it's like super famous, and like it's actually part of like an LA tour. So they were, I think they tried to sue
whoever sold them the house.
No, the show where American Horror Story like showed on
the production.
Was it Fox?
I don't know.
Something like that. Like, I think they tried to sue them or something, or I don't know.
And they're probably like, you didn't do your research on your own house. Like, how do you not Google your own address before you buy a house?
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so to get real into it, we are now going to discuss the Beverly Hills Bermuda Triangle. It's located in North Linden Drive and North Widower Drive, Beverly Hills, and the immediate properties around this strange triangle of land have taken on a mysterious aura. In 1946, a plane piloted by Howard Hughes slammed into a row of houses and came to rest at 808 North Widower. Bugsy Siegel was murdered at 801
Siegel.
Siegel was murdered at 1801 North Linden. That you weren't reading.
I'm not reading. I just know how to pronounce his last name.
In 1947, Jan Barry of Jan and Dean was nearly killed in a real-life Dead Man's Curve accident in 1966.
Sorry, question. What does the house have to do with the Bermuda Triangle? It's located in the Bermuda Triangle?
It doesn't. I said we're moving on. That was just an honorable mention.
Long on.
She's not paying attention. Smith. okay. In November 2010, Hollywood Smith.
Smith. You guys making fun of me?
No.
What's Smith?
I haven't heard that in so long.
I say it all the time. So Smith is. Tito is shaking my head.
Yeah.
So when you type SMH, mm-hmm. I would always read it as Smith. No, I knew what it meant, but it was just like in my head. I thought it was funny. It's just an us thing.
Never told me about Smith.
Oh, you're not part of the Smith class.
Sorry,
Smith.
Shut up.
I don't know. I just read shit weird. Okay. So that's how I just say Smith in my head whenever I read it, even though I know what it means.
You sound like the girl in high school, like, I pronounce, I'm not going to say her name.
I know.
She pronounced the word island, island.
Yes.
And everyone called her out in English class. She's like, that's just how I pronounce
it. Oh my God. In November 2010, Hollywood publicist Ronnie Chasen.
I can't see it.
Oh my God.
Was shot in her car at the corner of Sunset and Widower. Chasen hit the gas and careened into a streetlight at 815 North Widower, adding to the legacy of one of the most sinister intersections in Los Angeles.
Moving on. Okay. We will now talk about Hollywood Pacific Theater. Located on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, the Hollywood Pacific Theater originally opened in 1928 as the Warner Bros. Theater, aka Warner Hollywood Theater. Sam Warner reportedly cursed the theater when it wasn't completed in time for the premiere of The Jazz Singer, The First Talkie. No idea what the fuck that is, honestly. Warner died from a cerebral hemorrhage the day before the film's New York premiere. Warner's ghostly figure has been glimpsed in the theater's lobby and offices. Now closed, the theater was declared a Los Angeles Historic Cultural Monument in 1993. Moving on again is another hot spot in town, which is the Hollywood Wax Museum. So specifically, the Last Supper display. And since 1965, hundreds of thousands of people have traveled to the Hollywood Wax Museums to come see the Last Supper display, because it just seems to attract the most paranormal attention, including a simple woman who is seen to be silently praying at the bench in front. There's also a teen that died young when he was very fond of the Chamber of Horrors, and he returns often. Experts say the museum is just as busy with the dead as it is with the living. Moving on again. In South St. Louis Street, South St. Louis Street.
Okay, now I'm really going to read it this time because I can't. Okay, because you just pulled a North in Virginia.
South St. Louis Street?
I heard it and I was like, damn.
What did I say?
I'm not one to judge because, you know.
Just say it again.
Wait, what did I say?
South St. Louis. You're like, South St.
Louis. South St. Really?
I'm like, no, girl.
South St. Louis.
In South St. Louis Street, Los Angeles.
You're like, yeah, I skipped the Los Angeles part because like, obviously.
It's South.
Now I can't say it. South St. Louis Street. Wait.
Did you mess up?
No, why?
Clearly.
I'm so confused.
Just say in St. Louis Street.
No, fuck you. South St. Louis Street. All right. I was confused. Anyway, a hospital had been at the site since 1904. The structure that would become Linda Vista Hospital was built in 1937 for railroad employees. By the late 1980s, the use of the hospital declined and it closed in 1991. After the closure, it was investigated by almost every paranormal television program and group. Many spirits, including patients and staff alike, were seen roaming the hospital corridors. Its sinister appearance made it the perfect backdrop for the Day of the Dead and Insidious films. Nice. In October 2015, Linda Vista Hospital was converted to Hollenbeck Terrace, an affordable apartment complex for seniors.
Oof.
Yeah.
No.
Oh my gosh.
Poor seniors.
Definitely.
I know. That's what I thought too.
You're like, you know, close to death and you have to experience paranormal activity.
There was a lot of like heart attacks and seizures and shit because it got spooked.
Yeah, I know. All right. So the last thing I'm going to talk about, it can actually be a trigger for some people, so I wanted to go ahead and give that warning out for any of our listeners and boos who would like to skip ahead. Please do. I'm just going to briefly mention this for right now, and then I'm going to give another trigger warning later in the episode because I would like to dive deep into the story itself, but I wanted to do it at the end so people, you know, didn't have to skip like 10 minutes.
What is the trigger warning of those, like,
it's
like a topic, like
it talks about assault and deeper stuff. So feel free to skip now. Okay. I'm going to talk about what's called the Entity House. Ooh. So the Entity House was a house where the repeated abuse and violent. Did I say violent? Or violent. The violence. This is not something to laugh during. Oh my god.
The, you did say Violet.
I did say Violet, right?
No, no, you said it was the repeat.
Well, yeah, but that's why I fixed it. I fixed what I said, though.
Yeah. No, I like that. I appreciate that intro. Because sometimes I just ignore it, even though I know I'm like, the show must go on.
Although I didn't notice South St. Louis Street anymore.
That was hard to ignore.
I honestly didn't hear it at all.
Okay. I was like, you are pulling a Northman.
Okay. So the repeated abuse and violent assault of resident Doris Bither in her house by poltergeist in the early 1970s became the subject of the horrifying 1981 film, The Entity. Her sons witnessed these horrors, and when the family fled, the force followed them. The location of the house is 11547 Broadick Drive, Culver City, California. If anybody's interested, I actually looked it up, but I will, again, talk about that later on. So that was my LA ghost tour with many stumblings, as I cannot speak today, clearly.
That was good.
And I will talk about the Entity House later in the episode, and I will give another trigger warning later then. And yeah.
You covered a lot of hauntings in LA.
Yeah. That was just a little bit, because I found so many things, but I wanted to talk about like what's more famous, I guess.
Yeah.
And the Entity House is a really big one. Oof. So
I've heard of it.
What's the movie?
I've never seen the movie, but
I won't watch it after.
Okay.
Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah, you'll find out.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, the reason why we did LA hauntings is because we briefly mentioned something LA related or California related, right? In the first episode, we wanted to like go over how haunted LA is because of all the energy around, you know, famous people and their tragedy, and LA is just old too.
Yeah.
You know, Hollywood is very old, and it's interesting.
Was it you that you shared something on Instagram about like the lizard people in the underground LA?
Oh my God. That is wild. So I first got introduced to lizard people when I was watching Paranormal Caught on Tape, the show. And it was just stories about people living in LA that witnessed these lizard people coming out of the sewer system. And it's something really hard for me to believe. You know, I'm not going to knock anyone's beliefs, but I don't know. I can't really wrap my mind around lizard people.
Neither can I.
I'm telling you, it is just the homeless that found, you know, a safe zone for them. And they're like, oh, look at this tunnel.
Maybe.
You know, and it's dirty down there. And
it goes a little deeper in that. There's like definitely a conspiracy theory. The government's involved. Like all that stuff. But like, I just really don't. Like, it just doesn't tickle my pickle, but it is scary just to think of, like, some fucking lizard, large lizard person chasing you.
If anybody's seen Teen Wolf.
Oh, my God, I was going to bring that up. Yes. Yeah.
I forgot what season it was. I think it might have been, like, the second or third. But Jackson becomes a lizard because he got bit and
by
just
a lizard
didn't, like...
creature, yeah.
No, he got bit by Derek. The werewolf, but it didn't work for whatever reason. I don't remember.
Oh, so he mutated to a lizard?
Yeah, he like mutated incorrectly.
Oh, I would be pissed.
He didn't know.
He was a lacrosse player, right?
Yes. He was trying to become a werewolf?
Yeah.
And he become a lizard?
Yeah. He didn't know he was a lizard for like most of the season.
Yeah. This was on MTV. This was
It would go like MTV. Remember that?
No.
What?
I remember.
You know, that's not your time.
No. I remember TRL and all that good stuff.
That's like being, that's like asking a vampire, this hot vampire to, you know, bite you so you can become a vampire and then you fucking become a pigeon. Like, what? I'm sorry. That's like the equivalent of that.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah. That's it. That's my story. So what if y'all can go next?
All right. So I'm going to go next. And the title of my story is called My Spooky...
Ooh.
Sorry. So the title of my story is My Spooky LA Story, A Stay at the Biltmore Hotel Made Me Believe in Ghosts. Ooh. I know. I'm so excited.
The Biltmore.
I heard of the Biltmore.
Yeah. Yes. Did we talk about that?
Very famous.
I think I followed them on Instagram, to
I
be
think
honest.
So too.
The Biltmore.
No, I don't think we've ever spoken about the Biltmore.
No, only the Belvedere. You're, I think you're mixing the Belvedere
no,
and Baltimore.
Belvedere we went to in Baltimore.
Yeah, I think she's confusing.
You know what you're thinking of? The haunted famous hotel in Louisiana.
What's it called?
We should do a Louisiana episode. Do that.
We did.
We did? Oh, I don't remember. No, we did New Orleans.
Oh, maybe we did... I think we
just did New Orleans.
Maybe it was just like a haunted hotel episode. I don't know.
Okay, anyway. Okay, continue. About. Sorry. Anyways. LA.
It was a dark and stormy night in downtown Los...
We're all messing up today.
Fuck. Okay. It was a dark and stormy night in downtown Los Angeles. Remember those rains which came down for months earlier this year, turning LA from the land of sunshine into a gray city of slippery sludge? Well, that's when my parents came to me. That's when my parents came to visit me in Los Angeles from their home in North Carolina. So apparently, because I listened to these podcast girls that live in LA, apparently LA rained a lot in like the last year. So like they specifically
there was flooding, wasn't there?
I think that was San Diego, but maybe LA too. Who knows? But I know like my girls moved from New York to LA because like, oh, sunshine. And then they got stuck in,
like, in the rain.
Oh no.
Damn.
So when she's like, remember when it rained a lot in LA? Well, that's what she's talking about. So anyway, her parents came from North Carolina. They had visited me many times in the past 20 years, but this time was special. Instead of renting an Airbnb, they were staying in a suite in downtown's legendary Millennium Biltmore. That's what it's called. Okay. How lovely it was to find respite in the Biltmore with its gilded, if slightly faded, glamour after another day of tourism ruined by the rain. We are a family of history buffs, so to know we were walking the halls of a century-old hotel which hosted the Oscars, political conventions, and my personal favorite, the high society fashion shows produced by the eccentric Peggy Hamilton. What a thrill was for me. So, hotel ghosts. I have a long history with the Biltmore. As a historical journalist, I have written about it for years, and of course, I am fascinated by the legends of ghosts and ghouls that supposedly haunt its halls. A ghostly little boy has been seen on the 10th floor while another boy, this one without a face, haunts the roof. There is a little girl on the 9th floor and a nurse on the 2nd. On a tour of the property, a hotel employee told me that his own beliefs have been shaken by the number of employees who had strange, unworldly encounters. This is what it looked like back then, by the way. Nice. So, have you guys heard of the Black Dahlia?
Yes.
Get ready. Oh, she says, I know all about Elizabeth Short, a.k.a. the Black Dahlia, L.A.'s most infamous murder victim who disappeared from the hotel lobby to her doom. So, she disappeared from this place.
Oh, I didn't know.
I know. Okay, so on the night of January 9th, 1947, around 6:30 p.m., the immaculately dressed Short allegedly entered the Biltmore's lobby, escorted by an anxious man with red hair. After he left, Short spent the next few hours restless and nervous, repeatedly asking the hotel clerk if she had any messages and making calls in the phone booth. Others in the lobby became fascinated with the striking woman in the pristine white gloves, who looked so desperate and alone. Short pace made more phone calls, but the hours passed. Finally, she appeared to get in touch with someone on the phone. Suddenly, her mood noticeably lifted. Bell Captain Harold Studholm reported a little after 10 p.m.
Smith.
What?
Smith.
Shut up.
I wheeze so hard right now. And like...
Bell Captain Harold Studholm reported that a little after 10 p.m., a person on Olive Street motioned to Short for her to follow them through the lobby windows. She walked confidently out the lobby doors and disappeared into the night. Girl, you should not have done that. So this is her, Elizabeth Short, Black Dahlia.
Oh, I love her hair.
Yeah, very pretty. On January 15th, Short's body was found in a vacant lot in Limert Park. She had been bisected and drained of blood, a sinister smile carved into her face. To this day, her case remains unsolved.
I forgot how bad it was.
Yes. So, 4 years, of course, there have been reports that Short's tortured spirit haunts the 10th and 11th floors and rides the elevators, staring straight ahead.
Damn it!
For years, there have been reports that Short's tortured spirit haunts. There's too many S's.
I can't. Oh my God.
All right, my phone's dying.
What? I'm looking at the camera. Time's ticking.
For years, there have been reports that Short's tortured spirit haunts the 10th and 11th floors and rides the elevators, staring straight ahead. According to historian Janice Oberding, Short's ghost, as beautiful as ever, with luscious dark hair, never greets or even notices any mortal who crosses her path. She seems preoccupied on the edge, forever waiting for the mysterious person who perhaps caused her death. So yes, I know all the stories, but did I believe in this paranormal activity? Not really. But I would never be arrogant enough to claim I knew one way or another. I have made a career exploring mysterious, often creepy places, but it's been more of an anthropological point of view. My true interest in ghost stories have always been what they tell us about the places, people, and times from which the legend sprang. Cold, hard history and facts could explain it all away. So going back to what we said earlier, how I would say like we're into both. We're into the ghosts and we're into the history and the places and people and times from which the legend sprang from, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I get what she's trying to say here, you know? Okay.
She sounds like one of us.
She does. Yeah. But up to this point though, like she said, I'm not arrogant. I just did not like really believe in it. Right. So this is now going into her experience. Okay. All that would change that night at the Biltmore. Exhausted after a day of driving with my parents in the rain. That sounds miserable, by the way. I was happy to spend a cozy night with them in their suite. The data suite wasn't exactly luxurious, but it was huge with a sitting area, two beds, and large windows with views of a soggy Pershing Square. Pershing Square, I guess, is the area near the hotel. Yeah. After a night of watching college basketball on the room's TV while eating Subway sandwiches, we all turned in around 11. I went to sleep easily, my parents snoring lightly in the bed next to me. Then all of a sudden, I was awake. The room was dark and silent, save the rain pattering on the window. Shut up.
She's trying to be Slytherin.
Oh, I was thinking the same thing.
She chose pink porcelain. What is it?
Oh, yeah. Wait, what's that?
Never mind.
I'm just waiting.
I went to sleep easily, my parents snoring lightly in the bed next to me. Then all of a sudden, I was awake. I can't lie. Why I have this snake tongue? I have this, like... Okay. I went to sleep easily, my parents snoring lightly in the bed next to me. Then all of a sudden, I was awake. The room was dark and silent, save the rain pattering on the window. Yet I could barely hear the rain due to the thoughts that were loudly rushing through my head. But instead of my usual middle-of-the-night thoughts about my schedule the next day or the appointment I had forgotten to make, they were thoughts I had never had in my life. I couldn't move. To my horror, I realized something was very wrong. The voice, cadence, and vocabulary were not my own. It felt like I had been inhabited by an angry, vengeful man from another time and place. When I think of the voice now, I see a sweating, haggard, middle-aged man from the 1940s hunched at a hotel bar, spewing disgusting vulgarities, his humanity blotted out by his rage. That's intense. The thoughts came through me at a rapid pace. They were strange, hateful, and violent thoughts. I tried to rouse myself to wake up. I tried to sit up, but I couldn't move. I felt as though two forearms were pressing against my chest, like a shiny face was breathing over me, dripping spit and sweat on my cheeks. It felt as if this entity was taking me over. I didn't know what to do. I have experienced sleep paralysis before, but it wasn't that. It was terrifying. I was out of control, and it wasn't me. Suddenly, out of nowhere, the television in the hotel suite turned on, and instead of angry, incomprehensible words, a chatty, suave announcer was soothingly recapping basketball games on ESPN. The terror ended. I was myself again. I opened my eyes and saw both of my parents sitting straight up in their bed. "Did you turn on the TV?" we all asked each other. And of course, no one had. Guess what time it was?
3 a.m.
It was 3 a.m. "That's so freaky," my mother said. Then she chuckled. "Maybe it was a ghost." And I of course, was not laughing. And was now even more fearful. Who the hell turned the TV on? My dad got out of bed to turn off the TV and then climbed back into bed. I wanted to say something more, but I resolved to attempt to forget and go to sleep. I was exhausted and felt as if I had just been engaged in a monumental fight. I fell asleep quickly, but kept waking up periodically through the night, waiting for the TV to turn on. I mean, I would too.
Yeah.
Ugh. In the morning, I was shaken and confused. I remember the violent rush of words, the terrifying feeling of pressure on my chest, but weirdly, I could not recall anything specific the voice that inhabited me had said. To this day, I still can't. As I lay in bed, staring at the ceiling, desperately trying to remember what the spirit had said, my mother hummed as she opened the heavy blackout curtains in the room. The sun was lazy and cloudy over Pershing Square, and the room felt once again like a normal hotel room. After a much-needed cup of coffee and a day-old croissant, I told my parents what had happened. "I am never staying here again," I said. The next night, I stayed at my apartment in the Arts District, undisturbed by dreams or nightmares. I simply forced myself to put the night before out of my mind. I've always been a pro at conveniently forgetting things. When I went to pick up my parents in the morning for another sodden museum day, they had news for me. The TV had turned on again at 3 in the morning. Ugh, it would turn on in the dead of the night for the rest of their stay. They messed around with the TV but could not discover any timer that had been set. Being the tight-lipped Southerners they are, they never complained to the Biltmore or told them what had happened. Neither did I. After my parents went back to North Carolina, I decided to put my historical detective skill to good use. I pored over notes, books, and blog posts trying to figure out which of the alleged paranormal spirits of the Biltmore could have visited me. But none of the known ghosts of the Biltmore seem as malevolent, as evil, or as chaotic as was seen to enter me that night. Oof. Could it have been the spirit of the nervous, red-headed man who escorted Elizabeth Short into the lobby of the Biltmore that winter night of 1947? The unknown person who motioned her out of the lobby, a murderous traveling salesman, or a slighted mobster, a treacherous politician who checked into the Biltmore many months ago and whose spirit never left? I don't think I will ever know. The Biltmore has given Los Angeles many gifts in the past century. To the cynical reporter, it's given me a new perspective and a new healthy fear of things that go bump in the night. I now empathize with more those who say they have experienced a paranormal, and I'm not as quick to look to the logical to explain their experiences away. There are things all the research in the world can't explain, and nowhere in LA is the truer than at Biltmore Hotel. Damn, that's a good. And nowhere in LA.
Is that truer than at the Biltmore Hotel? You're doing great, Sissy. It's okay.
And nowhere in LA is that truer than at the Biltmore Hotel.
There are some things you can't say today. It's okay.
And nowhere in LA is that truer than at the Biltmore Hotel.
Good job. Yes. We finished. Yay.
I think we should take a break.
All right. So here is my campfire tale story. And it's about Bela Lugosi. Do you know who that is?
Yes. Oh, I heard about him on Pardon Me Research.
His name is Bela?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Where the hell you been, Loka?
Yeah.
His name is Bela. Bela.
Yes. So little fun fact for everyone. He's a famous American actor who's also from Romania.
Romania.
Yeah.
That's not it, but
no, it is.
Da?
Yeah, da.
Da.
Makes a data guy from Romania.
Really?
Da.
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 I have this weird fascination with Eastern Europe, specifically like Russia.
Dracula land.
Oh.
In Russia.
Yeah.
Whale.
Yeah.
Whale.
Well, anyways, he's well known for portraying Count Dracula.
I know.
That's what I said.
And he's from Romania.
Oh, stop.
Yeah.
Oh, it's perfect.
Transylvania.
Oh.
Okay. All right. So, it's about him. It's his story with his haunting of a yellowed-eyed woman. The following information I found from LA Ghost Tour, Universal Studios legendary Dracula, as I said, Bela Lugosi, was haunted by a woman who had yellow eyes who first appeared to him in 1929. The haunting first started in Abazia, excuse me if I mispronounce anything, where he had met a woman named Heidi. It was this woman who had entered his life for 4 separate times. She had made Bela her ex-slave. It was in 1932 that Bela claimed he would never marry again because of this woman with yellowed eyes. He was only 32. He was really young, guys. 32 when he met this girl. However, when he looked into her eyes, he felt a shock. He stated it was impossible to describe the feeling. It was a shot of fire and ecstasy. After he looked into her eyes, they were in each other's arms. He described the woman like this. She was an actress whose age could not be determined. She wasn't the most beautiful woman. She had pale brown hair and her skin was also very pale. However, the skin would sometimes turn blood red when she would eat, like me. The woman's mouth was thin and her teeth tiny and pointed. Oh my God, this is me! This is me! Men had
feared this woman, but went to her at her command. Many husbands left their wives because... Many husbands left their wives because of this woman. The romance lasted 3 weeks. Lugosi went to run errands, and when he returned, all her stuff was gone. I think I pronounced his name wrong. Okay. Her belongings...
Bella.
Bella. Her belongings were nowhere to be seen. She simply vanished into the night without a trace. She did leave a note for Bella. The note stated that they may never see each other again. However, he is always hers.
Oh, damn.
After she left, Bella has searched and searched for her. He wouldn't eat for weeks and was having difficulty sleeping. He states that he was mad and crazy. It wasn't until he was called to serve in the Great War that he was saved. He was successful in the army and ranked second lieutenant. He was wounded twice and went to Budapest during the recovery times, where he actually met his first wife. After the armistice in 1918, they returned to the Royal National Theater, where he returned to work. But right before he was about to get on stage, the woman with yellow eyes had appeared. Bella stated that as soon as the curtain opened, something was wrong. He stated he was not himself and he forgot the lines. He stated that he was almost like a dummy. He stared into the front row, and that is where he saw her. The eyes of this woman were glowing. When Bella looked into her eyes, something happened. He was then able to finish the play. He hurried to the dressing room, and she was nowhere to be found. He then proceeded to find this woman again. His marriage crumbled. It seemed as if the woman enchanted him. He again searched desperately to no avail. He thought about her night after night. He would lie awake trying to solve this mystery. It was at this point that he never saw his wife again. They divorced in 1920. Then Bella moved to America and he became a political refugee. Bella remarried, but Heidi, the yellow-eyed woman, appeared. The marriage crumbled quickly.
Damn.
It was after one of his shows that Heidi was waiting for Bella. She spoke in a very deep voice and stated that even though he came across the waters, he would not escape her powers. She also stated that there should not be a third wife. She said to let the woman he married go. After this, he went on to play the role of Dracula, and Heidi was not mentioned or seen ever again. He did die in 1956 from a heart attack in this modest apartment near Western Avenue. Bella would walk daily to his favorite cigar shop. That is so typical. Cigar shop at 6423 Hollywood Boulevard. When the horse-drawn hearse with his body drove from the funeral home, where the W Hollywood is now, the driver mysteriously lost control of the horses and couldn't regain it until the horses stopped directly in front of the shop Bella would walk to every day, convincing many that it was Bella's final farewell to Hollywood.
Dang.
I know.
So he was stalked by this yellow-eyed lady for years. And ruined two of his marriages.
That's you know, it's a vampire. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait.
I wonder if the person that wrote Twilight, the author, if she knows
Stephanie
about
Mayer?
This.
Meyer?
Yeah, Stephanie Meyer.
I'm sure she's done her
Bella,
research.
Vampire, yellow eyes.
Yeah.
It all sounds like Twilight.
No sparkling
Stephanie,
skin though.
Come let
no
us know.
No sparkling skin.
What?
No the sparkling
tail.
Yeah, but it's not sparkling.
Hollywood.
I know.
That's kind of cool. That's a good, like, theory.
I'm gonna see what he looks like.
I think what I want to do. Oh. Oh, here.
Bella?
Here, I got you.
I don't know. Like, Bella Bob?
Bella.
Is Lugosi?
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 Oh, ooh, ooh.
Bella Lugosi.
Bella Lugosi.
Not Bella Boutique.
This is what he looks like.
Yes! That's your rich original
Dracula.
Dracula. He was born in 1882, and
he was buried in his
Romania.
He was buried in his Dracula costume.
Shut the fuck up. Mm-hmm. Oh my god! Mm-hmm. How do you know this?
It's called research.
Because I heard about him on my when I was researching LA, but like I didn't know all this, so I was like, oh
yeah. I definitely want to do, I think for my own like shits and giggles, do like a little research on like all the actors that played in the role Dracula.
You know,
I think it'd be interesting, like something, you know.
So his second wife, her name is Lillian Lugosi.
Lugosi.
And they were married from 1933 to 1953. So 20 years. And then he died like a couple years later.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Yeah, it's like before he like really popped off or something like that, right?
I don't know.
I don't know, actually.
It's very interesting. He was handsome.
Mm-hmm.
Lugosi. Yeah, that's exactly what I think of when I think of Dracula. Dracula.
I know. It's so perfect. He's from Romania.
Can we please go to Romania?
I am down. I am down. You have no idea. It's been on my bucket list to visit Eastern Europe, and you already know that. Y'all been knowing that.
I know. We can't go to fucking Russia now. So
I know. I can't even afford to go to New York right now. Why?
It's cheaper than New York, right? Huh? Oh my god, he really does have like his eyebrows are such like Dracula eyebrows.
He was perfect.
You know? Yeah, it's just the features, like Dracula. I don't know if y'all can see this, but like the eyebrows are
girl,
just
you got that screen protector so nobody can see you from the side.
Alright, we'll just post him on our Instagram.
That's my godfather.
That was not what I expected you to
this
say.
This is my godfather, for real. Look at what him.
I know.
I know. Look at your teeth. Like, can we also post a picture of your teeth?
Yeah. I always hated smiling because of my teeth. Everyone's like, oh my god, I remember. I'll never forget.
Not as bad as yours.
No, mine are like, they're not bad. They're cute. We people compliment dad. My teeth. They're like, oh my god, I love your teeth. I'm like,
I love your teeth.
I'm like, oh,
it's so cute.
I'm like,
this girl came up to me. She's like, did you file your teeth to look like that? I love it. I was like, no, I was more like, cause you know how some people actually like get like
I know
cosmetics done to their teeth to sharpen their canines. Yeah. So it's like vampire like and shit.
Yeah.
I'm like, nah, girl, I was more like this. Oh my god, I look so cute.
And
I'm
like, and Chuck E. Cheese when they would sell the vampire teeth. You don't need them?
I don't need that shit. I cut, you see this little dot right here, guys?
Yeah.
I know.
That's because
I know the story.
I have this little scar right here. It's just this dot.
This
is you. Andrea and I were little and we're jumping on the bed and she fell and pushed me. But as doing that, like I landed on the wall and like the bottom of my lip went inside my mouth and my tooth went straight through. It was
shocking.
Bleeding. Yeah.
I gave you a free piercing.
A free lip piercing is what I got. I should have put something there.
No, your teeth would have interfered with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
That is so funny. But we get it from dad.
Yeah, I know.
You don't really
have it. You have a little bit. Yours looks more like a werewolf teeth.
Jacob. Yeah.
Shut up.
This is whiter. Hers is like thin and pointy.
I know. She has cute teeth.
Yeah. I really like your teeth.
Me too. I really wanted to file it down. And then
For the longest time you did.
When dad cracks up and his canines come out, I'm like, oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's aggressive.
It's like.
Yeah. But I've had people like, you know.
I wonder if my kids would ever have. That'd be amazing if my kids come out with like vampire teeth like mine.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
That'd be funny.
Maybe I'll be a vampire for Halloween again.
Yeah, sure.
Very nice story though. But yes, that is the story of Bella Lugosi.
Yeah.
Lugosi.
Whatever.
aka Count Dracula.
Yes. All right. I would like to tell my story now. So going back to the original story of the Entity House, like I told you guys when I was first talking, again, feel free to skip ahead, go to the next episode. If you don't have the next episode out, you can stop here, as it is a trigger warning. So this story is about Doris, I think Bither or Bither, but Doris in the Entity House. And I got this information from LA Ghost Stories, and it explains how the home is known for having a story that was published into a book and then later into a film. So the Entity House is located in the Los Angeles suburb of Culver City. The house was occupied in the early 1970s by a woman named Doris and her four sons. Doris was not married at the time, and she had suffered from possible health issues that had required her to take some type of medication. I think it actually might have been like mental health issues too. It was deemed that due to trauma and other mental issues that may have been stemmed from a difficult childhood, the medication that was prescribed to her may have been used to treat her. And Doris has a history of physical and substance abuse in the past. It was said that at some point during the night, Doris was asleep and was awakened only to be raped by what appeared to be three spirits. She would recall two of them holding her down while a third one would assault her. At some point later, she was visiting a bookstore near the UCLA campus when she overheard a lecture taking place about paranormal activity. The lecture had been performed by Barry Taff and Carrie Gaynor, both working for a parapsychology lab at the UCLA campus. Doris had heard the last part of the lecture only to approach them soon after about her very violent encounter with spirits. That led to Taff and Gaynor to set up a preliminary interview with her on August 22, 1974. While being interviewed, Doris had recalled hearing spirits banging on walls, lights flickering, and even moving around the house, despite the home being occupied by four of her children. It was also reported that Doris had been suffering episodes of what could be known as sleep paralysis, which Taff and Gaynor may have believed could have been linked to Doris's claim of being savagely attacked by spirits. However, their tune changed when multiple witnesses had come forward to talk about their eerie feelings and strange occurrences that had happened near the home. These recollections have included members of Doris's family that had visited her at the home on several occasions. They would often hear phantom noises like loud voices and banging on the walls. One such witness claimed to see her being thrown around like a rag doll. Another witness account reported that Doris's sons attempting to intervene with one of the spirits and was attacked to the point where his arm is broken. Taff and Gaynor proceeded to investigate the home and had noticed that the lights were flickering on and off constantly. The pair reported that they had no idea of what may have happened next. As Taff and Gaynor began to interview the teens living in the home, they noticed that the relationship between the teens and their mother didn't appear to be the best. However, as one of the teens was being interviewed, the cabinet doors were reportedly being flung open with no one near them. Some pots and pans would often hit the floor violently without any explanation or reason. And to make matters a lot more hair-raising, no tremors or earthquakes were said to be reported at that time. Taff and Gaynor wasted little to no time taking pictures of every room of the house. When the photos were quickly developed, they noticed the sight of white orbs appearing in many of the photos. Sheets of white fuzz had also appeared in some of the photos as well. After the investigation had wrapped up, Taff and Gaynor believed that the best course of action was to remove Doris from the house. Soon after, they had taken photos of each room once again, only to see a major difference in the photos. None of the orbs or white sheets were seen, and it was apparent that the paranormal presence had no longer been in sight. The investigation of the home and Doris's apparent attack had taken 10 weeks before a conclusion had been revealed. Doris had described many presences that she had encounters, including one in particular that she would only describe as a humanoid that was later known as the Entity. During the investigation, nearly 30 researchers had been at the home where Doris had attempted to summon the spirits. Doris would summon them by cursing and yelling at them, while researchers had recording materials alongside them to document the event. The summoning had appeared to work as lights had suddenly begun to turn on and a large green fog had begun to appear. The fog later formed into a figure of what had appeared to be the torso of a man. Some researchers were able to see more of the man's appearance as someone who appeared to be big and muscular in size. The figure that appeared apparently had no face either. During this event, one of the cameras managed to capture an image of a bright white orb before it followed and never took any more images. Doris and her family had left the home in California and relocated to Texas while managing to keep in touch with paranormal investigators. However, as Doris left for what might have been her new life in a new place, the haunting seemed to have continued. At some point, Doris and her family had disappeared to an undisclosed location. She had never come forward regarding her stories around the time of both the release of the book and film based on her experiences. Rumor had it that she may have been pregnant with a child that may have been fathered by the entity. In 1995, Doris passed away from an apparent pulmonary arrest. The house is still there to this day, and when I Google the home, it says it was last sold on December 6, 1974. It's just there. Like, nobody will go near it.
So
I'll show you guys.
It was sold to them and they just
never sold it?
So, yeah, no, like, whoever bought it, it's just there. It's...
So, I'm sorry. She left that home when?
In the 70s? No. No.
What did I say?
It had to be like early 80s. That's when the movie came out.
Early 1990s. That's it. No. Actually, yeah, it doesn't say exactly when she left, but when that's all. This is all.
But she sold it.
This was all happening around the 1970s.
Okay.
Yeah, so this was based on Zillow. What did it say?
Well, I don't think the house is haunted. It's her.
Yeah, no, it's definitely her.
She moved to Texas. Shit was still popping in Texas. It's definitely her.
Yeah, she herself was haunted.
I wonder, like, I wish I knew some more background about her. Like, I know that she suffered from mental...
Yeah, and issues. She just went off the grid. Like, she... That's all she, like, gave information about.
I wonder if her children... ever said anything.
They all went off the grid. Like, I don't know if there's any update about the children.
Research.
But,
yeah, I don't blame them. They probably, like, you know.
They were going through such a traumatic experience, and then it got made into a book and then a movie. Like,
Continue on that cycle over and over again. Like, why do you want to keep reliving and hearing everything again and all that shit? It's like, no, I'm done. Like, move on, and went off the grid.
Yeah,
I respect that for them, you know.
Again, I feel like there's so many questions unanswered because I want to know. So it sounds like based on the timeline that you described that she moved to Texas before the movie.
Or the book.
The book came out. So that had to be in the 70s because the movie came out in 1981 or something like that, right? Yeah.
So she definitely moved in the 70s, yes.
And then she passed away in 1995.
Yeah.
So... And supposedly she was haunted in Texas still. So, like, was she haunted the rest of her life?
Well, it says after she moved to Texas and she was still haunted, then they went off the grid. And, like, nobody knows. Unless I could be wrong. If one of you boobs know, maybe, please leave a comment.
Want to do some research for us?
Yeah.
We could do a follow-up.
Yeah, so let us know if you guys know anymore.
I wouldn't be surprised if the family members ended up changing their names.
I wouldn't either. But that's the story of Doris.
Dang, that was a good one.
Yeah,
so sad.
Thank you for sticking with us and listening to our stories this episode. Feel free to... follow us on all of our social medias, per usual. We've come to the end. Our Instagram and Facebook is Haunted Hermanas Podcast. Please, please email us at hauntedhermanaspodcast@gmail.com so you can send us all your spooky ghost stories. Yes. Anybody you know, send it our way. We also have TikTok. That's also Haunted in Manas podcast, I think, or some shit. I don't know. That's all the same. But y'all can find us, our social media down below in the YouTube video, or if you guys follow us on Instagram, all of that information is there as well. And I believe that's it.
No.
Until...
No. Not yet. Please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe on YouTube. Use word of mouth and tell your friends and family about us. Anyone that's into the paranormal or has sisters and can relate, hanging out with your sisters.
Or siblings, even. But yeah, sissies.
But yeah, that's it. Now we're done.
Yeah. Okay. Until then, adios.
Y vaya con Dios.